Sweet Sweet Garbage is a podcast in which two women, Jenna Redding and Bailey Von Schneider, take a look back at some of their favorite garbage films and television. Knowing them as we do, we have to ask the question, why do they find themselves enamored with this trash? Not only that, why do we ourselves root for the problematic woman? We love a good crazy stalker, male or female. Why is Bailey okay with the idea of Penn Badgley stalking her? Why does Jenna want to single white female every person she meets? Can they be feminists and still enjoy these indulgences? Let's find out.
All right, guys. Welcome back to this week's episode of Sweet, Sweet Garbage. We haven't seen you guys in a while. We've missed you. We're glad to be back. And this week, well, this month, we're going to be doing like our Evil Kids month. So we're starting it off with Orphan, 2009's Orphan. So yeah, Bailey, do you want to go into a little synopsis of that?
Yeah, it's a husband and wife who recently lost their baby adopt a 9-year-old girl who is not nearly as innocent as she appears.
Ooh.
Like, I imagine, like, 12 years ago when this came out, like, what transpires must have been, like, a oh shit moment. Like, I wish I could have, like, I didn't see it then. This, I've seen bits and pieces of it, but this was, like, my first start to finish watch of it. And I kind of wish, like, in 2009 that, like, I had gone to the theater to, like, see this.
Right.
And have, like, experienced it. Like, because I imagine, like, in a packed – I love seeing, like, certain movies, like, in a theater full of packed people because it's just, like, there – I saw Insidious in a theater full of people, and it was, like, I call it forever and always the Insidious experience. Like, it was insane. Like, we had to have, like, security come in and, like, break up fights. This girl in front of me got in a fight with her boyfriend on the phone. Like, she's on the phone. Threw the phone, like, across the theater. The little kid behind me was crying, but his mother, like, refused to leave. And then they started checking tickets, and I will say, full disclosure, we snuck in, so we were like, shit. We're like, they're gonna check our tickets, but they didn't check ours. But yeah, so I like, and but that movie was like rowdy and loud and crazy, so I was like, I love experiencing certain things like in a theater of people, and I feel like this movie would have been one of those.
Yeah, this is one, like, if there's ever like a revival or like where they play it somewhere, I would die to go see it, because like, It's such a, like, I mean, I don't know if people really like it that much, or I haven't heard a lot of people talk about it before, but, like, this movie...
Bobby loves it.
Yeah, oh, yeah?
Like, our friend of the podcast, Robert Grant, loves this movie. Like, he talks about it. Yeah, I was like, I don't know if you know this, but the love of my life, Leonardo DiCaprio, is a producer on this movie.
Yeah, he is, and that's why people are, like, they think that might be why Peter Sarsgaard did it, because, like... They, like, they're friends in real life, I guess. Because, like,
are they?
If you think about it, like, the husband part isn't, like, it's not
He's
anything.
He's an asshole.
First
like,
of all, yeah.
I was so happy that, like, the only intelligent people in this movie were, like, the children or women.
Yes.
Like, the mother. And he's just, like, the worst husband. Like, oh, my God.
He's so, like, but, like,
it comes out that he cheats on her, like, 10 years ago or something like that. And that he's always, like, you gotta get over that. Like, you can't just be jealous of, like, every woman. I was, like, dude, you cheated on her, and you only came out about it 2 years ago. Like, he had cheated on her for 8 years, didn't tell her for, like, 8 years. 2 years ago, was like, oh, by the way, I had sex with somebody else. So, yeah, like, give the, like, bitch some due. Like, give her, like, the whole idea of, like, yeah, she can be mad.
Well, like, here's the thing with this movie is that, like, this couple, I was like, yo, like, stop fucking having kids and get a divorce. Like, you've tried. You keep trying to have another kid to, like, be like, oh, this will be the thing that makes this marriage work. And it's not. You guys should get divorced. Just, like, cut your losses.
But yeah, Leo, so, like, Bobby always is like, man, Leo's best movie, Orphan. He's like, it's the best. He's like, Leo made Orphan. We know Leo's fucked. And I was like, yeah, well, he probably is.
Like, yeah, no, that's true. It's like, what are you, like, what was going through your mind that you were like, yeah. Oh, yes, like, I need to make sure this movie happens.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, this is it. This is the one I'm going to put my name to. Like, here I am, Leo DiCaprio, making Orphan. Like, winning Oscars, making really interesting horror movies.
Yeah, like, but, yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so like the whole premise is that like we it opens like this movie has a really good, because like the whole thing in you know, in screenwriting, like if they were like, oh, okay, yeah, you want to really, we want to know the tone, we want to know the movie that we're in, like immediately. Mm-hmm. And this movie like hits you with like, you can't go back from that opening scene. Yeah. So like you couldn't have that opening scene and then just have like a normal movie. You were like, this movie is going to, I mean, you already know going in, it's going to be like a horror movie, but like, say you didn't, like, you're just like, oh, this is what this movie's going to be. It opens up with like, she's been having like nightmares of, you know, her child dying. And then everybody in like, I just love in the opening scene when it was like, she's like, what's wrong? And then like the nurse is like, your child's dead. Like the way she says it so nonchalantly, right. You like immediately know, like you already knew it was like a weird like dream sequence. But like if you weren't sure, that moment of like, your child's dead, you're like,
yeah,
okay. Shit. But yeah, she has, you know, a stillborn, which is just like awful. My assumption is that like she carried this baby nearly to term. Like she was about to give birth and then like, you know, it, unfortunately, the fetus is non-viable. And so like she has to like live with that. And it's weird that they were like, let's replace that with like a 9-year-old.
Right. So it wasn't like they wanted to have a baby. They were like, okay, yeah, let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, I was like, we don't need to, like, raise a child. Like, we'll just get one that's already fully, like, can poop and pee on their own. Like, it was just like, I thought that whole concept of it was, like, really weird. It's like, oh, yeah, let's just get a fully grown child and, like, not know anything about her. Like, I'm sorry, you have to vet somebody way more. I don't care if it's a 9-year-old child. Like, that, the fact that that, like, convent knew so dick weird about, yeah, her. Yeah,
they didn't know anything.
Is, like, no.
And, yeah, no. That's because, and, like, I guess because it's a movie and you're having to do, like, the whole, like, oh, we gotta get her into the house as fast as possible. But, yeah, like, they were just like, oh, yeah, you've been around on this earth for a while, but, you know, it's fine.
So, yeah, the parents are, like, Vera Farmiga and Peter Sarsgaard. And, like, I've always said, I love Vera Farmiga. Big Vera Farmiga fan, you know, when she stays away from using a Boston accent. Always bring in her A-game, even in, like, weird horror things. She always kills.
Yeah. I mean, she's called, like, she's actually now called the Scream Queen because she does do a lot of horror movies. And she always fucking, like, knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, and, like, she was, great. She played Norma Bates on Bates Motel. And, like, up until, like, the final season, final maybe two seasons of that show, it was great. Like, I loved it. It just went so off the rails, like a lot of shows do. Yeah, like, so Vera Farmiga, really good in this, and yeah, she's kind of the only one that, like, they make her believe she's insane, but she's the only one of sound mind in this whole movie.
Right, right. And they have the whole thing because, like, you know, she was, like, she used to be an alcoholic, and, you know.
Yeah, after her child died, yeah, give her a little credit.
Come on, come on, of course. But, no, a lot of it is just, like, it's like, hey, dude, just listen to your wife for 5 minutes, like, come on.
And he, like, refuses it. What gets me is this is your wife of, like, what, let's say 20 years? So 2 decades of, like, knowing this woman and, like, claiming that you love this woman. And you're, like, okay with this, believing this little 9-year-old that there's, I get it's probably a little difficult for you to believe, like, when your wife comes up to you and she's like, hey, yeah, I think this girl is, like, a killer. And you're probably like, okay, I don't know. Yeah. But still, like, maybe you don't completely dismiss her.
Yeah, right? Like, maybe just, like, look into it yourself or, like, do something. Like, oh, my God. Literally, like, when they would start having the conversations about Esther, because basically what happens is, like, just these, like, weird things start to happen around her. Like, you know, she's a troubled child. So, like, accidents start happening and, like, people start getting hurt and, like, you know, all this stuff. And, like, it's enough evidence where, like, even if you're like, okay, well, maybe she does just have bad luck, it's still, like, a lot is happening.
You look into it a little more. You don't just say, like, I don't know, like, when that, like, little girl who, like, I'm sorry, didn't deserve to, like, completely shatter her leg like that, but maybe deserved to get punched in the face. Like, I would have been okay if that, like, little shit got punched in the face. But, like, when the girl is like, she pushed me, and, like, nobody believes her, and then they ask their daughter, and that girl is literally terrified. She literally saw, like, this 9-year-old that you just bring into the house shove this girl off a jungle gym. Like, of course she's gonna be like, oh, no, no, that girl slipped.
Yeah. But see, this was the thing that I kind of had an issue with Esther herself, because, and we'll get into like the twist of this movie in a little bit, but I did find like her motivations a little bit muddled. You know what I mean? Because like, what is she trying to do? Is she trying to be like the only kid in this family, or is she trying to like take over and be like the mom of this family? And we'll get into that in a second.
Like, I feel like what it, like, yeah, as, like, before we get that, like, twist and we realize what she's doing, I remember at one point I said, like, what's her end game?
Right.
Like, yeah, you're like, okay, like, I get, we're like, oh, okay, you kill CCH Pounder because you're like, she's gonna find out more about me, so, like, and she's gonna take me away. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe I get that, but, and I get the motivation of hurting that girl who was a bitch to her.
Yeah.
And there are points, like, I think they do a really good job of, in the beginning, like, being, feeling, like, sorry for Esther.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of on her side in certain situations. Like, you're on, like, you're like, oh, that girl bullies her. Yeah, maybe you don't hurt her to that point. That's where you're like, oh, okay. But, like, if she hauled off and just, like, belted this girl,
you'd we would have like, been cheering.
Oh, go Esther. And, like, the son is a dick in the beginning. Like, no reason. It's just a dick. And then, of course, like, you're like, oh, okay. Like, as it goes on, you don't feel bad for her. But, like, there are points where you're like, oh, like, man, like, yeah, she just, she, like, has every right to be mad because this person's a bitch to her in school. Or, like, her new brother's an asshole.
Right. Yeah, like, you can kind of, like, see, like, where, like, the lashing out comes, like, comes into play. You're like, yeah. Oh, shit, that's a little too much. Like, maybe... cool it.
Rain it in. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, please. Like, we want you to hit that girl in the face. But like, yeah.
Yeah.
We heard that crunch of her leg and that was like, oh. Oh, fuck. See, good ass sound design. Good ass sound design. Because like, at that point, it wasn't like super like gruesome, but you hear that crunch and you're like, oh my God. Like, I think my stomach just like dropped.
Yeah, no, for sure. And who was the son? Was he? Yeah, Jimmy Bennett. That's the, I think this is the guy that came out and said that she's like somebody's daughter. Is it like Ozzia Argento?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dario Argento's like daughter. Yeah, Dario's daughter.
I think he's the one that said that she sexually molested him.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's this kid.
Is he the one who was in, oh, wait.
Yes, this is definitely him, because he was in that movie with her.
Oh, I see.
Yes, this is him.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was called, where is it? He was really young in it, too. Where is it? Yeah, The Heart is Deceitful Above All Things.
Is that the one with the Sprouse kid?
Yes.
That's right.
Because Ozzia Argento made this movie. And,
right.
Like, Jimmy Bennett came out recently and said that, like, yeah, like, while I believe that, like, you know, Harvey Weinstein did awful things to her, he's also the kid with the giant dick.
What?
Yes. No, do you remember that movie, Heartthrob? Yeah, Heartthrob. You remember the kid with the giant dick?
This
is him. Yes, he didn't
oh
get
my God.
He was so cute. I don't know what happened because I'm like, this kid is adorable. And he grew up to kind of have a weird face, but like a giant penis.
Well, you know, I guess that's God like evening things out.
Yeah, yeah, giving him something really nice. Like,
he gave him a fucking potato down.
He was adorable. Like, he was so cute in Orphan.
That's so funny. Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was him. I'm like, it looks kind of like him. Yeah. Yeah,
crazy. That's him. Small world. Small world.
Right? Just all of our movies come in full circle.
Yeah, right? Well, when you really stick to, like, a certain type of, like, fucked up movie, I guess it's all going to be,
gonna
like...
They're going to be in all of them.
It's
in
really
them.
Incesty.
Yeah. But, yeah, that little kid and... Yeah, so she start. It's so interesting that, like, you know, the little girl and the little girl's deaf too, which is very interesting. I'm not too sure if she's actually deaf in real life.
I think she is. I think she is deaf in real life.
Good,
yeah.
Because they should be using actual deaf actors. So I'm glad that they actually are. But my God, like the little cute, the little girl is just completely terrified. And then she like threatens the kid with, like, a box cutter at his throat and then, like, says that she's gonna cut his prick off.
Yeah.
If he, like, doesn't, like, if he says anything. And I'm just
right.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah, that I think was, like, the actual point where you're like, oh shit, like, like, where it finally, like, you're just like, okay, no, I'm, like, fully not on your side. You know what I mean? Like, that's, like, because, like, again, like she said, like, there were certain, there were certain points in the movie where you're like, oh, I can kind of see where she's coming from. Like, oh, well, like, this, like, all right, I get it. But then, like, there's that point where you're like, I can't, ooh, shit, I can't defend this anymore.
Yeah, so true. No, very, very, very true. Yeah. Or, and then, like, I remember there was a moment where, like, he shoots a pigeon with a paintball gun and then, like, cries about it. And I was like, one, you shot a pigeon with a paintball gun. Like, did you not think that it was going to kill the pigeon wound it? So, like, when she's like, you have to kill him to get him out of his misery, I'm like, at one point, I was like, yeah, she's, like, right in that situation.
No, I agreed with that. That was one, like, when, because, like, you always have to have the moment
it's early
where,
on.
It's very early on. And I thought that actually, like, played with the trope of, like, you know, the kids maiming animals, because you know that always happens in like every movie, they like do something crazy to like an animal. But in that one, I was like, just like, yeah, you're right, you just fucking like wounded this thing and you're not doing anything about it, it's like in agony, like what do you want her to do? Because it wasn't like she just like grabbed a pigeon out of nowhere and just like snapped its neck, because then we would have been like
she did not take any action into killing this pigeon, like, you know, that pigeon was on him. And then there were moments where it's like the moment that like really changed Vera Farmiga, I think, like she was having difficulty like warming up to her, which like makes sense. Like Peter Sarsgaard was just like very like game. He was like, I'm ready, like she's intriguing, she's interesting, like I want her as a part of the family. And like Vera Farmiga was as well too. But there's like the moment where they decide, oh yeah, like let's have sex on the counter. Like, oh, even though our children are home. And I'm like, guy, like, when the kids are at grandma's, go to town. Peter Sarsgaard is sexy. Like, back in 2009.
Oh, my God. Such a hot couple in this movie.
He has, like, a Malkovichian voice, too, that you're just like, oh, my God. So you're like, oh, yeah, please do me in the kitchen. But maybe when the kids aren't home. So, like, they're going out in the kitchen. And then, like, Esther shows up. And they're like, oh, my God. Like, we have to go and talk to her. And I was like, so Vera Farmiga goes in. And she's like, well, like, trying to, like, gently explain this to what she, like, to a 9-year-old. And then she just looks at it and goes, yes, they fuck. And I went, and, like, Vera Farmiga's face is like, what? And then in that moment, she's like, this wasn't normal. She's like, this is, like, a girl that knew what that word meant, like, knew the sentence she was using, like, knew the reaction she was going to get out of me. So that's sort of, like, when the gears start to, like, turn a little bit in Vera, I think.
Yeah, no, that's really is the first moment, which that is the one point, though, where I did agree with Peter Sarsgaard, where he's just like, well, she grew up in an orphanage. Like, I'm sure, like, people are saying shit like that all the time. And, like, I agree with that because, like, I think when I was 9, like, I mean, I would never say that to, like, my mom or my dad, obviously. But, like, you know, you would say something like that to, like, your friends to, like, shock them. You know what I mean?
I'm like, I know this word.
Yeah, I know what this word means. I'm a grown-up. You know? But yeah, like, I think that, that's definitely the turning point for Vera. And then, like, you know, then things start to escalate. And then, again, we start to see, like, every time, like, someone's around Esther where, like, she doesn't like you or, like, something feels off, something happens to that person.
I'm just so mad at the orphanage more than anything. Like, I'm like, you did not do your due diligence. Like, they were like, I remember CCH Pounder shows up and she's like, oh, yeah, I looked more into it. Like, I looked more into it now after she's been in your house for, like, what, a month? And she's like, yes, the house fire that she barely escaped from, it was arson. And I'm like,
yeah.
Like, you didn't know this?
Like, what compelled you in the first place to start digging, first of all?
Yeah. And, like,
after a month or so,
yeah, and what got me was that when they first show up and see Esther, she's, like, painting in her own little room away from all of the other little kids. And like when they first start talking to her, like CCH Pounder like looks concerned. Looks concerned in the way of like, oh, this kid's troubled and maybe you shouldn't take her on. And then it like cuts to she's being like, Esther's wonderful. This, that, or the other thing. Like, take her. Is she just saying that because it's like, get this bitch out of my orphanage?
Well, see, that's why it didn't really make sense, because it's like, okay, well then it sounds like you would be happy that she would be gone and like out of your hair.
Yeah.
But then they brought her back to then be like, oh, like all this shit is like weird about Esther. And then like, you know, then she gets, you know, she finally gets like offed. And it's like, well, like there could have been like a better way to like get that information. Or like, even if like Vera Farmiga finally just like went there and was like, hey, like, is there something fucked up about this kid? And then they're finally like, well, I mean, yeah, we didn't want to tell you.
Like, she's a little off.
Like it didn't seem she's that crazy. Problem. It was like arson or whatever.
Yeah, you know, and just kids getting fights and, you know, a couple broken bones.
Kid stuff, you know, scrapes and bumps. Yeah. And all the while, Peter Sarsgaard is all like, she's a misunderstood child. She just needs, you know, a firm hand and like loving parents. And we're like, Peter Sarsgaard, listen to yourself. People are getting fucking hurt. Like, people be dying.
So it like all comes to, it really all comes to a head when the son is like, says like to the sister, like, what the hell is going on? Like, is she dangerous? Like, blah, blah, blah. And the sister, like, actually says, yeah, like, she is. She comes out and admits it, like, because she's been terrified to admit it because she's like, I'll kill your mom. I'll do this. I'll do that. So, like, she tells him, like, where the bag of all of, you know, the murder weapons are. So he goes to his treehouse to get it. And then she, like, of course, is there. And lights all of the shit on fire with an igniter. And then the fucking traps him in there. And he has to, like, break through the window and, like, get out and fall and, like, ends up in the hospital. And then she kills him. Like, she actually, like, kills him. And the only reason they're able to, like, revive him. But she straight, like, is like, oh, no, he's gonna wake up and he's gonna know. He's gonna tell everybody it was me, so I must kill him. So she, like, goes into his room and, like, kills him with a pillow. And then just, like, thankfully, they're able to like save him, but like, whoa.
No, that was definitely a thing, because like I remember when I was watching, I was like, are they really gonna fucking kill this kid? Like, they ended up like copping out a little bit, but I definitely was briefly. Shocked. I was shocked as hell.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, he's dead. But then I'm like, don't worry, they'll bring him back. But like, shit. And then of course she fucking does what we've all been wanting. She punches her in the face. And at this point, it looks so bad on her. It looks like she just punched out a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
And they sedate her and keep her overnight for, like, observation. But so now he decides to get drunk because, you know, you don't have enough problems with people getting drunk in your family. Because she not only, like, grieving from, you know, the loss of their third child, she, like, starts drinking, gets shit-faced, and their, like, daughter almost drowns in, like, the pond they have in their backyard.
Yeah, so that's the reason that's the reason she ended up being deaf, I think, because, like, the...
No, I think they said that was from birth.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember that was from birth. No, she just straight almost died. Like, yeah, almost died.
Right.
But yeah, so like you've got enough problems with alcohol in your family. Maybe don't kill off a whole bottle of wine when your kid's almost dead, your wife's in the hospital, and like your deaf kid is upstairs and there's a psycho in your house.
Right.
Don't get shit faced. But he does. So it's all good.
And then, so this is probably the most pretty shocking part of the movie. And this is technically a spoiler. Although you've had 12 years to watch this movie, I'm not that sorry. But basically, Esther starts coming on to John, Peter Sarsgaard's character.
She and like, actually, makes herself a sexy dress.
Yeah.
Like, does her makeup. And we're like, what?
And you're like, what the fuck is this? What is happening? And like at one point, she like full on grabs his dick. Like you don't see it, but like definitely like he goes for it. Mm-hmm. And like, I'll tell you, like I'm not much of a pearl clutcher, but I gasped.
You're like, whoa.
Yeah. And, you know, and of course, like, you know, he's horrified. He's like, mm-hmm. what the hell? And, you know.
Which is good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the one credit we give John in this movie.
He definitely acted appropriately.
Yeah. Yeah, even as drunk as he was. He yeah. was like, nine-year-old girl. And my junk.
Was horrified. He's horrified. And, you know, and then, like, one thing leads to another, basically. And then he, like, you know, she, like, freaks out. And, like, you know, then she kills him.
Yeah, but then there's the whole, like, you know, they call, because she, Vera Farmiga, had done her own, like, okay, who is this girl? Like, we have to find. So she's been, like, digging into her past and finds out that she was, like, in an insane asylum. And the insane asylum calls her back. And they're like, yes, this is not a 9-year-old. This is a 33-year-old woman. And mm-hmm. as they're, like, explaining this, like, she, like, is taking all her makeup off. She's, like, unbinding her chest. She's, like taking her teeth out because she just has disgusting teeth. I really don't know why she has such disgusting teeth. Yeah, like, she's only 33. Weird. It's not like she's a 60-year-old woman. It still looks like she's 9. It's like, no, she's, like, 33. And, like, so she's got this gross teeth. Like, there's, like, bags under her eyes because apparently I'm going to look that bad in 2 years. Like, holy
shit. My God. I know.
I'm going to hold on to my youth for 2 more years because by 33, you're just dead.
Well, like, you know, she lived a hard life in Russia. Like,
that is true. She lived a difficult life. So, yeah, so now she's, like, looks like this woman. So I'm wondering, like, did they give her, is there, like, is that a body double with her, like, head on it? Because, or did they, like, give her fake boobs?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because literally, yeah, there is this transformation, basically, where, like, then she starts to, because basically, yeah, like, so she has, like, a type of dwarfism mm-hmm. that, like, has made her, you know, look small, like a child, and mm-hmm. but yeah, like, she still has to, like, do all this stuff to, like, make herself look youthful, you know. But yeah, I don't know, because the transformation is kind of shocking as well, because, like, yeah, like you said, like, all of the stuff around her, like, it just, I have no idea what they did. But it is kind of funny. Like, did you ever see the movie Don't Look Now? It's like a Donald Sutherland. It's like a movie from the 70s. It's a horror movie. And this guy, he keeps thinking that his, he keeps seeing, like, visions of what he thinks is his daughter in, like, a little red coat, like, around the city. And, like, finally at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, he, like, corners this, like, person who's in the red coat, and the person in the red coat, like, turns, and it's not a child, it is a dwarf, and then the dwarf kills him because it's like a serial killer. It's a great movie. You should watch it. It's super good. It's very scary. Donald Sutherland in the 70s was kind of a babe. So.
Yeah, there was a time. Well, Kiefer was kind of hot. Like, Kiefer looks like him. You yeah. know?
Well, Kiefer Sutherland in the 80s, primo. Mm. Like, Stand By Me, The Lost Boys. That's just a good-looking dude. Yeah, so basically this is kind of like, it had sort of that ending, though, where it's all like, oh, this child that you think is a child is actually, has a form of dwarfism. Which I'm surprised that that, like, didn't bump people as much as, like, the, I guess, like, the orphan aspect of it. Because, like, I guess this movie got a little bit of controversy because they were like, oh, if people see this movie, they're not going to want to adopt kids. It's like, what?
This never really happened. Like, this does not happen. Yeah.
This is all based on a real story, I don't think. So,
like, I can honestly, statistically, there's got to be at least one child that has, like, tried to kill somebody while being adopted. But the majority is going to be like, no. Like, the one person that has died on a roller coaster, you are not going to die on a roller coaster. You're going to more likely die on the way home than you are on that roller coaster.
Right, exactly. You're going to die, in the car on your way home from the amusement park.
Not because you rode the rides at Magic Mountain. Don't be a little bitch. Sorry.
But, yeah, like, I remember hearing that was, like, a thing. Was it, like, a lot of, like, orphanage agencies or, I mean, I guess, I don't know if they have, like, an official name.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess that was, like, their complaint was that they were, like, oh, well, this is defamation to orphans, basically. And it's, like, it's fine. It's a horror movie.
That's crazy.
Rosemary's Baby doesn't make me think that, like, my neighbors are going to, like, put the devil's child inside me.
But yeah, so, like, that's the big reveal. And, like, there's a part of me that was, like, I get it. It's, like, cool. It's kind of shocking that there's, like, oh, my God, there's this reveal with this girl. But then there's another part of me that's, like, oh, man, imagine if it just was a kid.
Well, that's what I think. I feel like it would have been, like, way more, like, depraved, actually, if it was just, like, some, like, fucked up 9-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, that makes your skin crawl. And so you're like, maybe that's better. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, then a 33-year-old woman. I'm like, yeah, 33-year-olds, I guess she could be capable of this. But yeah, it's kind of like, she's kind of Black Widow-y in the way of, like, oh, if I can't seduce him successfully, which, like, good luck.
Yeah, like I'm just gonna kill everybody. Again, we're gonna just talk about Endgame again. What was your Endgame here? Like, did you really think he was gonna do it? What if he had? Like, there's so many things.
Has it happened? It clearly hasn't happened, or she would have been, like, I don't know, stayed with that man that said yes.
I guess. Maybe she just kept having bad luck. You're like, maybe stop, like, starting off as a child, and you'll have better luck with these people.
And it's also kind of interesting that they're like, oh, she has this, like, dwarfism where she, like, looks like she's a child. Whereas then, like, when she, like, reveals herself, like, she doesn't look like a child.
Well, that was the thing. So I felt like
she could have lived life, like, as just a very short 33-year-old woman.
Well, no, exactly. That they make a very specific point to say that she looks like a child. But then there is this transformation where then she looks like this, like, little old person. And you're like, consistency.
So with makeup, it's saying with makeup, can every tiny person just make themselves look like a child again?
Right. Because, like, too, the thing is, like, and there must have been some, like, prosthetics or CGI or something. Because, like, they did, like, this girl at the time really was...
Yeah,
I think he said 11 or 12, yeah.
Yeah. And she's an actual child.
Yeah, she was an actual child.
They made look like a 33-year-old. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. They did not hire a dwarf to play an 11-year-old. They did an 11-year-old.
Imagine if they did. Like, that would be insane.
I know. It makes me wonder, though, like, would that have also, like, would that have made it more shocking then? Like, if you actually knew in your mind that this was actually not an 11-year-old in real life.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder how that would have, like, made it play off on screen. But then, okay, so then, yeah, so John gets killed. Good for John. R.I.P. We won't miss you. And, you know, fucking you should have listened to your wife.
Yes, and you would not be dead.
Yeah, yeah. You wouldn't have gotten into this
predicament. You should just let her punch the 9-year-old in the face. Like, that's the moral of the story. Punch 9-year-olds in the face.
Yeah.
If they deserve it.
Don't break their legs, but punch them in the face if they're getting squirrely.
That's it. You can slap them around a bit. Just no real bodily harm. Or also that, like, my, like, maybe favorite ridiculous situation of John just being such a fucking douche was when, like, Vera Farmiga, like, shows Esther this rose garden that she built for their daughter that they lost with, like, her ashes and how it, like, means so much to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Esther's having a conversation with John and she's like, you know, he's like, well, maybe, like, do something nice for mommy. So, of course, Esther, being a psycho, cuts all the roses and presents it as a, like, here, mommy, I made these beautiful roses for you. And so she, like, grabs her by the arm and, like, throws her, like, not even throws her, just, like, kind of pushes her out of the way to, like, get these roses and has her, like, freak out. That, like, we saw the situation, John saw the situation, and then, like, Esther's a psycho and goes and breaks her arm in, like, a vice grip and is like, look at what mommy did. And it's like, no! And how would he should have been like, oh, yeah, there's no way that could
happen. Yeah, the way that
how brittle are your bones?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because he was there. So, like, yeah, yes. That didn't make sense.
Like, if he wasn't there, I could have said, oh, sure, maybe. Who knows?
Right.
But also, your wife has never hurt your children.
Yeah.
Like, what? You're going to just suddenly believe that she... And if you're this concerned about your wife, why have you not called the cops on your wife?
Yeah. You're just going to, like, guilt her about it a little bit? Like, just make her feel bad? Like, that's how you think this situation is going to be resolved?
Yeah, he's just an asshole. So, like, when he died, I was just like, okay, I get it.
It's like, all right, it's okay. I guess I can't have sex with Peter Sarsgaard on the kitchen counter anymore. Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. New sex. New man. Find yourself a new man.
Find yourself a new man, Vera. We believe in you.
Get it, girl.
Get it. You're so hot.
When there's a big reveal like this, I feel like that's maybe your batshit moment. But, like, did you have another moment that you kind of was like, oh, maybe this is like more of a batshit moment outside of this big reveal?
I would say like that's obviously the batshit moment. But I will say like at the very, very end, like that whole thing where they're just like, now they're just like in a brawl outside the lake. I would say that would be the second closest like batshit moment. Cause like Vera is just like punching this girl and they're like full on aggro street fighting. And it's like, it's pretty funny, but like I will say I was involved. Like I was like, this is tense as hell.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Like there is that part where like she's like, mommy, don't let me drown. And she's like, I'm not your fucking mommy. And then just like fucking kicks
and,
her.
Like the neck like snaps. And you're
the neck snaps. Yeah. And then, that you know, and so then she's dead. And then cut to credits.
That's pretty good. Or... it's like there's so many moments that you like expect. You're like, oh, cool. She like sets the kid on fire in his treehouse. But I'm like, I kind of expected that. I guess I didn't really expect her to kill John. And like, so that was maybe like she stabs him a couple times. Like she got him in the back and you're like, oh, he's going to get away from this baby. And then she just keeps stabbing him. And you're like, oh, he dead.
Yeah.
Like, he's dead.
Yeah. No, I will say like I didn't think that he would die. Mm. Because I, you know, like in most of these movies,
the whole
like
family survives, yeah.
The family survives, or there's like a darkly ironic ending where like it seems like it's going to be happy, but then like something's up. But like this straight up, like John's dead.
Mm. Yeah, like her son is almost dead. Her husband is dead. Her young child is going to be forever traumatized. Like, and you need a better therapist than Margot Martindale. Like, I don't trust that bitch.
Yeah.
Anytime she comes up, I'm like, you can't trust her. If I went to therapy, I feel like this would be, like, the worst therapist ever. Because isn't your therapist supposed to, like, trust you? And, like, she's like, oh, no, we immediately have to, like, send you to rehab. Because, you know, that little girl came in and she fucking snowballed you and she buffaloed you. But I believe her. I've never met her before. But I believe her and I believe you're the problem. Even though you've been coming to me for, like, a year, Vera. I'd be like, you're the worst therapist. Get to step in.
Yeah, no, because, like, any therapist, like, they're just supposed to, like, be, like, objective
about
the whole thing.
That's what I thought. Like,
yeah, exactly. And she definitely, no, she was giving off judgmental vibes like nobody's business.
And I was just like, is this what therapy's like? I was like, if I felt like I needed therapy, I would be, like, hesitant if this is like what it would be like, you know. They just show it. I feel like psychiatrists should be mad at this movie for how shittily they were trained.
Well, it's so funny, yeah, because like literally, it's very true.
I'm like the psychiatrist of like people tell me their problems, and I'm like, shit, I should just offload everybody's problems in a session to a therapist because I hear everybody's problems. Yes. I'm like, bitch, I don't need your problems. It's like, I might be like the most boring person who doesn't, like, my biggest problem right now is that I don't have a man and that I need to get a job. Like, I feel very blessed for that because I know people are not as fortunate about that.
Those are great problems.
So that's why I'm like, when you get a profession that really helps people and they show it in such a shitty light, I'm like, what is this?
Yeah. Yeah, no. She was such a bitch. It was so funny. Yeah. Like,
I'm just like, she plays that so well that I'm just like, I can't trust you, Margot. You're so good at what you do. I'm done trusting.
Yeah, I know. Like, you definitely, like, I don't want to turn my back, like, ever when you're in the room because I don't want to find a knife in it.
So, yeah, that's all. Just there was like a big lack of trust. Like, nobody trusted Vera Farmiga in this movie.
Right. And like, the thing is, like, yeah, they go into the whole thing about her being an alcoholic, mm-hmm. but it's like she was dealing with grief. She was dealing with like all this shit. And it's not like she's been like a raging drug addict.
Yeah, I think like, there's it's not a like difference she, like, between like how movies portray true alcoholism and somebody who is dealing with their pain via alcohol. Like, it's like these are the people that can get help. Sometimes true alcoholics need more than just talking through their issues, because these are like deep-rooted actual, you know, issues, and like alcoholism is genetic. Like there's that genetic component. Yeah. And then there's like, I never felt like Vera Farmiga's character was a genetically predisposed alcoholic. I felt like this was just somebody who coped with a great loss, the greatest loss she'll ever experience, by drowning her sorrows within alcohol. So I just felt like sometimes it's just like, you are such an alcoholic and like, you just like don't even deserve our children. And I'm like, whoa, one, that's terrible for people that are alcoholics. It's like saying, oh, you're an alcoholic, you can never get over this, and I can never trust you. And I'm like, dude, like, no. These people have a disease. It is a disease that they need help with.
Right. And yeah, I would say, like, in this movie, it didn't seem like she had that actual problem. It was just that she was using it to cope. And, like, they were treating her like she, like, did meth or something.
But you're right. It's not like she's, like, she was strung out in heroin and the kid almost drowned.
Yeah. Or she wasn't, like, driving.
Like, also, you were in the house. Why were you letting your wife be that drunk? It's like, oh, if John wasn't there. So you were there, too. Like, you're enabling her if you were allowing her. And if you're like, oh, well, in this moment, she's just so sad because, you know, our child died. I'm just going to let her get shit-faced.
When something happens.
And then you can't blame her. You can't be like, our kid almost died.
Exactly.
It's like, you allowed this to happen.
Why were you watching the kids if you knew she was having a lush moment, you know? Shit.
Yes. Like, oh my God, you're like terrible at being parents. I think these people were just both bad at being parents.
Seriously. And I was like, stop having kids. You should have stopped after the first one. But
like, and some people should not have the right of being parents.
So where would you put this on the garbage scale?
Like, it's so hard. I think it's hard to judge horror, too.
I agree.
Like, good horror? Because I feel like this movie is, like you said, great sound design. It's directed well. It's acted brilliantly. The cinematography is really good. The music is utilized really well. Like, I think that there's moments of tension. The tension builds extremely well in this movie. So there are things that, like, the script was on the blacklist. I don't think we're going to get many, like, black, even though, like, I've read a lot of blacklist scripts. Some are Juno. Some are Promising Young Woman. And some are, like, how did this, is this, like, the nephew of, like, I don't know, the guy that runs a studio. So, like, that's not a judgment for, like, it's a great script, but usually most of the scripts on the blacklist are very good. They're competently written scripts, at least for the most part. Whether or not you like them. Like, you could like Promising Young Woman, or you could not like it, and I get it. Like, but you have to admit that it's a well-made movie. So I think this is a well-made movie.
Yeah.
Like, so there's nothing on that. So I think it's like, I don't know if I can't say it's hot garbage. I don't know if I can necessarily even say it's garbage. I don't know if it falls on the meter. Because, like, even the moments of, like, craziness aren't outlandish, aren't over the top.
Right.
They're, like, they're well within the means of how somebody should react to this sort of a situation.
Right. Yeah. I do agree with that. I will say that I do think that this is, like, a certain type of, like, trashy movie, because, like, you know, it is like a little, like, it is a little, like, squirmy, like, of course the reveal about her being actually, like, a woman instead of, like, there's some, like, good, like, there's some, like, garbage themes here, but, like, yeah, I wouldn't actually call it, like, a garbage movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it did. I think it's in the 50s on Rotten Tomatoes.
I would give it, that's, like, that's, yeah,
like, that seems about right. Like, you know, because it's like, the minute the movie jumps into the 60s, it's automatically fresh. And I don't necessarily, like, think that that should be right. You can't be like, my movie's fresh with a 61. I'm like, that's still, like, a D.
Yeah, like, I feel like fresh.
Your movie's a D.
I think fresh should be, like, a C movie. Like, in, like, it should be 70 and up.
Maybe even a B minus, honestly. Like, I don't know. I'm just very particular with the idea of, like, because to me, fresh means your movie's good.
Well, that's true.
It doesn't have to be great. It doesn't have to be an epic, but
you're right. I think, like, B minus, that actually makes more sense. Because, like, like, I wouldn't really necessarily. Because here's the thing. I actually think, like, then in this case, like, this movie shouldn't be in the 50s. Because, like.
Yeah, I'd give it a B. I think it's a B minus feels solid.
Yeah.
Like, I think that seems solid. This is like a solidly B minus. And it's not like the idea of like a B movie, because like a B movie, like this movie's B movies are just not well made.
Right.
This is just like a B minus in the idea of like a grading scale.
Like, as far as like execution goes and everything, yeah. It was a B minus. I agree with that. I think absolutely. So that, guys, is our episode of Orphan. So like I said, we're going to be doing scary kids this month. So that's really exciting. But
get ready.
Yeah, get ready. And yeah, thanks for listening. We appreciate everything. If you guys ever want to drop us a line on Instagram, on Twitter, like rate us, review us, all that good stuff.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
See ya. Sweet, sweet garbage, baby.